We ready?
Yeah.
We're ready. Okay, we're going to look at Acts chapter 4, verse 23. I'm going to read this out, okay? And I'm going to leave gaps as I'm reading, and you've got to try and guess what word fills the gap. And if you're stuck, I'll try and do an action, okay? Right. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard, point over there, they raised their voice to God. And there too, with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made
heaven.
Who said heaven?
Me.
Thank you, Jesus. And earth. And the sea. Alright, she's saying me. And all that is in them. Who by the mouth of your servant
David
have said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, I'm not going to point anyone out for those, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, glad someone got it, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. I recognize their voice. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your
hand
to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant
Jesus.
And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was
shaken,
and they were all filled with the
Holy Spirit,
and they spoke the word of
God
with boldness. Thank you, Jesus. I want to talk to you today about being brave. Brave is another word for bold. The Bible says there, they spoke the word of God with boldness. I want to talk to you today about being brave, but not just brave for anything, being brave to talk about Jesus. Okay, so the scene set before we read the passage, you've got Peter and John, who are two church leaders. They've been out in the streets. They've been preaching the gospel, they're telling people about Jesus. People are being healed. Thousands of people are coming to know Jesus. Thousands. And funnily enough, not everybody likes that. Not everybody likes the fact that people are being healed, people are being set free, people are knowing the truth, people are knowing their true value, people are knowing exactly what's going on in their lives, what should be going on in their lives, and that's to know Jesus. And so the elders and chief priests, the religious leaders of the day, take the two church leaders, Peter and John, aside, and they say, stop talking about Jesus. Stop it. Stop talking about Jesus. And they threaten them with their lives. They say to Peter and John, if you carry on talking about Jesus, we're going to end your lives. That's what they're faced with. And when we started, they're being let go. So they've been let go from that place. They go to their own companions. That means they go to their friends. That means they go to those that they're closest with. Companions. That word actually means those who sing on the same hymn sheet. They're singing and living their lives from the same place. So they go to their friends and they tell them that they've been threatened with their lives to talk about Jesus. Now, the scripture says, when they heard that, so imagine George and Ray, two of our elders, come in and they say, we have been told that we can't talk about Jesus. So picture the scene, they walk in the door, where have Ray and George been? They've been away, and they walk in and they say, by the way, if we talk about Jesus anymore, we're going to have our lives ended. And so that's the scene. Picture it. Imagine them walking in this room. That's it. And it says, when they heard that, What did they do? And so the reason I said about singing from the same hymn sheet is because what we're going to look at now is a prayer that they pray, and it's prayed by people like you and me. This isn't a special prayer for super Christian. This is people like you and me praying to God in the face of conflict. They need boldness. They need to be brave, right? So what do they say? When they heard that, they all raised their voice to God with one accord, and they say, Lord, help us, please get us out of this mess. This is terrible. We don't want to do this anymore. That's not what they say. They say, Lord, you are God. You are God who made heaven and earth. That's all of us here. We're saying this. Picture it. You are God, and you made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them. So the first thing they do in the face of persecution and trouble is they tell God who he is. Now, do you think God needs to know who he is? He knows who he is. God knows who he is. He doesn't suddenly go, oh, that's who I am. God knows who he is. But something happens when a people unite around this and declare to God who he is. Because you know what? These people knew who God was. And the way to be brave is to know who God is. Because if you forget who God is, your problems will look bigger than they should look. When you forget who God is, things that aren't really that meaningful become huge. But when you know who God is, all of a sudden these things come into perspective. You start to see, actually, God is with me. Now, I would like a volunteer. Who would like to volunteer? I'm not going to do anything too much. Would you like to come up? All I'm going to ask you to do is stand on a chair. Can you do that? You can manage that. Health and safety, I've cleared it with Jesus.
Risk assessment.
Risk assessment. You okay? Right, you just stand there. Right, what I'm going to show you now is one person with God is in the majority. Okay? So imagine that Joshua here, he stood here, and he's got to battle all of you lot. Right? On his own. Bring it on. Now, who do you think's going to win?
Them.
I mean, I don't want to be me, but I think they would win as well. If it was me standing on the chair, just me and them, it'd probably be them as well. So don't worry. But imagine God comes with Joshua. Okay? I'm going to play God. Now who's going to win? We're going to win. Aren't we? High five. Joshua and God can defeat anything. Joshua without God, not so good. But the thing is, there's a difference here between knowing you've got God and not knowing you've got God, because he could not know that I'm here. Now, the night before the battle, how's he going to feel? He's going to be nervous, scared. He's going to be fearful. He's not going to be brave, is he? He's not. He's not going to be brave because he doesn't. But now, if he knows God is with me, imagine that. He's going to sleep and think, my God is with me. Now, let's take this illustration out. If those of you who can, look out there to the window, and you will see Salford, and you will see Manchester. Now, all of us here, compared to the amount of people out there that don't know Jesus, how many people are out there that don't know Jesus compared to us? We are in the minority, probably. Now, there are other churches as well, but even if we all gathered together as the people of God and looked out to the valley, and saw how many people don't know Jesus, we're in the minority. But let me tell you, you have God. We have God. So, because we have God, we're not in a minority, we're in the majority. Okay? Isn't that amazing? Thank you for your help. You can get down now. I quite like that bit. Round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. So it makes a difference if you know you've got God. So who is God? It says here, they say, Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. These guys know their stuff. They know who God is. They also then say, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? So they know that God speaks through humans. They declare who God is, he's the creator. They also know that God speaks through people. So they know that. That's very important. And they're praying. This is all prayer together in one accord. Truly against Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, people of Israel, are gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. You see, in Jesus, God's will cannot be stopped. You can't stop what God wants to do. Now, there are various examples of things being delayed and diverted, but you cannot stop God's purposes to bring his kingdom on this earth and for him to return and for his kingdom in Salford, Greater Manchester and beyond to be pushing away the powers of darkness. You can't stop it. And what God is looking for is people like you and me to know who he is. And to know that God speaks through people in his word. And to know scripture has authority over our lives through the Holy Spirit. And also that we can walk in the truth that God's will be done for my life, your life, the life of this church, the life of this planet, the life of the heavens and the earth, and through into eternity. God's will cannot be stopped. And then they say, so after they've done all that, bearing in mind, again, reverting back to the beginning, they're in trouble, they're being persecuted, they're in trouble, and this is how they're praying. They haven't asked for it to stop, have they? They haven't once said, please help us stop this. Okay, now they're going to ask something. They begin to ask this. They say, now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. So that's how this people reacted to being criticized and life-threatened for talking about Jesus, is they tell God who he is, they proclaim the authority of Scripture, they proclaim God's purposes will be done, and then they say, Lord, fill us with your boldness that we may speak your word. So what they're saying is, please, God, we're not asking to escape the trouble. We're not asking for things to change out there. We're asking things to change in here. And in here. That's where we want things to change. Because if things change in here, and in there, and in here, things change out there. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. They say, please, God, look on their threats and make us brave anyway. That's what they say. They say, please God, make sick people well. Please God, do miracles in the name of Jesus so that Jesus will be made known. So that people would know who Jesus is. Do miracles, Lord, not for entertainment, not to bring more people into the church, but so Jesus, your Son, Father, would be made known. So people would know who Jesus is, because you and I know who Jesus is. And we want people to know. That's why we're praying for signs, wonders, and miracles, and boldness. It's so people can know Jesus. Because he's the answer. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the gate. He's the door. He's the shepherd. He's amazing. He's amazing. Now, so they ask for boldness. They ask the Lord to stretch out his hand to heal. They ask that signs and wonders may be done so that Jesus may be known. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, being brave and bold comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Our human efforts will only take us so far. As amazing as my gifts and your gifts and our gifts are, they're amazing. God put them in us and we should use them. But as James said, actually, amazingly, the gift of the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift we could ever have. Because within that gift is an eternity of joy and life and pleasure and salvation and attraction to Jesus and for people to know that they need Jesus. And one of the interesting things about being bold is when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not always a feeling. And being bold and courageous is doing what's right anyway, even if you don't feel like it. It's not always a good... I love being filled with the Holy Spirit and I feel His manifestations. More often than not, I'm up in the morning with the Word open and I'm praying and I'm just seeking the Lord in ease and simplicity and I feel His presence. But there are times when I'm faced, when I have to talk about Jesus and I don't feel His presence. And it's boldness and courage and being brave to step out and do it anyway because you know you're filled with the Spirit. You know you've got Jesus in you. Now, interestingly, Moses, back in the Old Testament, hid his face when he saw God. And sometimes the first step in being brave is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because many of us, actually, deep down, we're a bit unsure about the Holy Spirit. Because if what I'm telling you today is true, and I believe it is, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to start talking about Jesus way outside your comfort zone. You're going to start talking about Jesus in the playground. You're going to start talking about Jesus in Tesco. Other supermarkets available. You're going to start talking about Jesus in the garage. You're going to start talking about Jesus in IKEA. Let me tell you a story about IKEA. We went to IKEA with my family, my wife and three children. We had some food. And Samoy took the kids and they went to run around. And I just sat there and had a cup of tea for a bit of rest and relaxation. And I'm sat there and there's this table opposite us. And there's this guy sat there and he's got a few of his family around him. And they do the same thing. They go off and he's left there. And I just felt just peace in me as I was resting, having my cup of tea, and I just felt a little nudge in me, a little still small voice, which happened to Elijah. He said, I want you to go and talk to that man. And I just thought, well, you know, I'm off, you know, I'm not working today. This is, you know, Sunday's my main day, and then I work Monday, but this is Friday. Friday's my day off. I don't do... And the Lord said, no, you don't get a day off. I want you to go and talk to that man. So I said, I don't feel like it. Okay, Lord, fill me with your presence, fill me with the fire of God, let me feel warm, cozy, fluffy, please. Nothing, absolutely nothing. I know who I am, I'm a child of God, I'm saved, I'm covered by the blood, I'm going to glory. I don't feel a thing. All of a sudden, every scripture, Bible verse I've ever learned went zooming out of my mind. And I've just sat there and I was... just thought, you're just an ordinary bloke. This is, and you're just thinking, we could have told you that. But I was just thinking, wow, obviously I've got God, but it's God in me, it's God in me, okay. And sometimes it takes, in the stepping out to talk about Jesus, that's when things change. Because I just walked up to this man, I felt nothing, I felt like just running away, but I knew that if I didn't do it, I'd feel worse than if I blow this whole thing. And so I went up to him and I just said, excuse me, I'm a follower of Jesus. And I really feel that he speaks to me. And I feel that he wants me to come over and speak to you and just tell you about how amazing God is and how Jesus loves you and he wants you to be in his kingdom. And I just looked at him, I said, what do you think about that? Maybe he didn't tell me everything he thought about it, but he just said, you know, he said, I'm not at all interested. And I said, I might look a mess, but this is why I feel good, because it wrecks me when the Holy Spirit says love. It says love for that person. He's not doing it to make a fool of me. He's doing it because he's the only chance he's ever going to get to hear about Jesus that day. And I just said, I'm sad about that, but Jesus loves you. And I felt in my heart this word love letter come into my heart. And I just thought, I can't say that. I just said, does love letter mean anything to you? And he just goes, no, absolutely nothing. Like, you're thinking something's going to happen, right? But this was, nothing happened. And so, I just got up to a stranger, I told him Jesus loved him, I told him about the kingdom, I told him about the cross, I told him about the blood, I told him he needs Jesus, but Jesus loves him, and that's why I did it. I gave him what I thought was a prophetic word about a love letter, absolutely nothing. And I just shook my hand and I just said, okay, bless you, man. You know, I just pray you have a great day and you're blessed. And I just walked off. And went and sat down. Actually, I didn't go and sit down near him. I went and sat down. Just being real, man. Just being real. You've got to be real. And what began for hours and days and weeks after that is God just started speaking to me about being bold and about his responsibility, not mine, to save people. What he was teaching me there was obedience. Do as I say. You let me worry about the results. And what I've been doing is carrying condition with God, saying, God, unless you turn up, I'm not saying anything. Unless that man dramatically gives his life to Jesus Christ, and becomes wonderfully saved, and thousands of people are dancing, and I'm the super Christian on the front of the newspaper who saved all these people. Unless that happens, God, I'm not stepping out. But God was teaching obedience, and sometimes he will ask you to do something which appears to have no fruit. And he's teaching you to be bold and brave anyway. It wasn't the end of the world that the guy just said, I'm not interested. It felt like it, but now the lessons that I've learned from obedience in that scenario are priceless. Because now I know that actually me with God is the majority. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You and I with God are in the majority. And sometimes it will look like it's not that way. When you look out, I mean, have you seen how many people shop on a Sunday morning? Of course you don't, because you all come to church on Sunday morning every single day and you don't take holidays. No, it was a few weeks ago, we were off. And it was a Sunday, it was after church actually, we went to Costco, because they do nice hot chickens in Costco. Other places available. And we haven't got time to cook sometimes, and we just went there, and the amount of people that are shopping, I'm just thinking, of all these people just come from church? Probably not. And so it appears that God's kingdom is less. See, God doesn't care about numbers in that respect. And wherever you walk, in your workplace, in your home, if you're cleaning the church, or that's your job, or you're changing nappies all day, or you're in an office, or you're driving, or whatever you're doing, you, knowing God, you are in the majority. Because you've got God. It's amazing. Now that word boldness, I'm just going to close with this. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Now that word means outspokenness, unreserved utterance, freedom of speech with frankness. And did you know that word is not a human quality? It's a word called parhesia. It's not a human quality, but a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can lay down our weaknesses. We can lay aside not thinking we're good enough. And we can just present ourselves before God and just say, Lord, would you fill me? First of all, Lord, would you... Let's do that right now in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just still our hearts right now. And Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. In the stillness, you know God. And that's just not knowing about him. It's encountering him. It's a knowing. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit day by day. Lord, I pray you would fill us with your Holy Spirit right now. Every single heart in this room, Lord Jesus. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with boldness to proclaim your word. But Lord, fill us with your Spirit so we may know who you are. Because when we know who you are, we know that the numbers don't matter. We've got you. We have the victory. That's what being in the majority means. We have the victory. And so, Lord, I just pray that you fill us with your Spirit, that wherever we go, we will be bold to obey you. And we would lay down aside the results. And Lord, when we hear that, we would practice knowing you, Lord, and we would know when it's you speaking, and we would obey regardless. And I just thank you, Father, for every heart in this room. I thank you, Lord, you're uniting us to know who you are. And I just pray you would continue to work through each and every one of us. We might be encouraged, but above all, that we might know you, declare who you are, so we might declare your name to the nations and our neighbours and our families and our friends. Fill us afresh, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, I think the drinks will be coming through. Any time now. Drinks!